Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
Joining us on the phone is Andrea Kennedy, a certified financial planner. Works a lot with adults, of course, but also has worked with some kids over the years to try to help them understand investing and how to start at an early age. Andrea, welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Thank you for having me. Can you guys hear me okay?
I can hear you just fine. Coming through loud and clear.
Okay, good.
Andrea, okay, good. This idea of adults, of course, paying attention to their financial status and well-being and knowing how to invest online and things like that is important. But oftentimes, it's the kids are overlooked. Why is it important for kids to have an understanding about this?
Well, I mean, I think just take this in the simplest form, right? Your kids are always going to... You're the greatest role model for your children, and that's in everything. So I think that the parents have to realize that whatever's going on in your house, your kids understand it, whether you like it or not.
Mm.
And so if you're having healthy discussions about money, they're picking up on that. If you're anxious about money, they're picking up on that. If you're arguing about money, they think that, again, money is something that you argue about.
Mm.
So I think what parents have to understand is that, and if you're not communicating about money at all, they're also understanding that money's not something you talk about. But
yeah.
I think the first thing parents have to realize is that whatever's going on in your own personal world, your kids are picking up on, whether you realize it or not.
Great, great point.
And so,
yeah, go ahead.
Going to Neil's point, you know, where he's kind of like talking to his daughter, like, do you have any idea how much that costs? What she's hearing is, money's something my father's anxious about, possibly angry about, and she's internalizing that, right? So regardless of how much money she has, and I work with adults with a lot of money, a lot of wealth, and they're still very anxious about money.
Mm.
But having more money isn't the solution. It's having the right relationship with money that's the solution. And that comes from having parent role models with money.
Absolutely. And here he is now, the angry father.
Well, this is why I like talking to Andrea. She came on the show before, and I felt like I was on the psychiatrist's couch.
Which is where you belong most of the time.
Which is where I am most of the time. But no, it's a very good question. It's a very pertinent point, and one that I think is particularly important and relevant during a pandemic, economic downturn. Everyone is a little bit anxious. I think it's relevant to Singaporeans in the sense that many people who grew up relatively poor or working class and then move up into the sort of middle class, they still want their children to retain those values, that appreciation of where money comes from and the value of money. I mean, it's a very important message to pass on to children. So how do we go about that, Andrea? How do we teach our children to appreciate the value of money?
Well, I think the first thing is we've got to allow our children to the chance to make mistakes with money.
Mm.
And part of that is allowing them to earn money, allowing them to make a choice about what they spend money on, and allowing them the choice to accumulate or save money. And if you're not doing that, you can talk until you're blue in the face. Your kids are not going to have a personal experience with money. And there's a lot of people who think, oh, giving kids an allowance or doing things in the house is the wrong thing to do. It's actually the best thing to do because you're basically saying if you walk the dog and do wash the dishes and do certain things, you will get an allowance. And that will be consistent. And that's the closest thing to a salary that you can model, if you will, for them, or the real economy, if you will, for them.
And Andrea, once you give them I was just going to say, once you give them that allowance,
yeah,
should it be understood that, you know, they should have control over how they spend it, or should it be dictated, you know, you need to save X percent and you can, you know, the rest of it you can use for whatever you want to buy? What's the best way to put in boundaries around allowance?
Right. So every kid is – so first, they've earned that money, just like a salary. So they get to do what they want with it. And that is going to be shocking to many a parent, because I know many Asian parents particularly withhold that money and put it away in savings and don't let the kids do anything with it. That is a mistake. I'm going to tell you that right now. And I know people don't want to hear this, but it is a mistake. You've got to allow those kids some agency and some empowerment around that money, okay? Otherwise, what their understanding is, I work, I make money, my mom keeps it. So that's a mistake.
Mm.
You've got to actually allow them to do things that are both, if you will, right and wrong. And, of course, everyone's different, and your kids are going to be different. One kid will save, another kid will spend. But I can promise you, if they spend money consistently on the wrong things, that they will learn over time, as long as you're not topping up and giving them more money without working harder or whatever, that they are spending money on the wrong things or on things that will not give them long-term satisfaction, let's say.
Fascinating insight, Andrew.
Learn, you give them the chance to learn.
And on that,
if you don't give them the chance to learn, they're not going to learn.
Fantastic. And just to follow up from that, by the same token, if they don't keep up their end of the bargain, because you've almost got this employer-employee relationship
tension going.
Yeah, you do this, you will get that. You clean your room, you will get this allowance. By the same token, Andrea, if they don't keep up their end of the bargain, like in a real workplace, if they don't, you know, clean their room, do you withhold the allowance?
Yes, you do. And I've actually had this conversation. So I'll walk you through two things that happened with my kids, just as an example. I said to my kids, you're not like walking the dog consistently or whatever it was at the time. I can't remember. So my kids were, it was like walking the dog, doing the dishes, taking out the garbage kind of thing. And they stopped, or one of them got slack. And I said, you will have your allowance off. And I did dock it, and they understood. And then they went back to doing it properly, right? And I realized that this can cause tension. That's okay. It's okay for your kid to be upset. It's okay for you to withhold. As long as it's done consistently and in the right, and he will not emotionally. This is not supposed to be an emotional thing. If you do this job, you get this payment. If you don't do this job, you don't get this payment. So, again, it's taking the emotions out of it. It's a very straightforward transaction. And on this point of how will your kids spend money, my son used to buy Pokemon cards, and he used to literally spend his money all on Pokemon cards. And eventually he figured out that this was a scam, you know, kind of buying things and just never getting the bright cards he wanted.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a breakdown on a sidewalk. He was 10 years old. He remembers this to this day, and this informed his life. He now is an incredibly good money manager because he had to go through that very real pain of he spent money, he spent it poorly, and I wasn't going to give him more money.
I'm going through that just about every week.
You learn from experience.
Yeah. Yeah. Why have I not learned that yet?
The point is let your kids make mistakes with money on a small scale, and they will get much better over time and not make mistakes on a large scale.
Yeah. How soon is it, how early is it advisable to maybe start along the allowance route and or, you know, helping your kids understand about money in that way, their own money?
Right. So I think kids understand money very, very, very young, okay? So it's really up to every family. But I think middle school is, I would say, as late as I would start, just allowance and understanding money. I think another thing is that parents just need to sit around the table and talk about money in a very calm way, like we talk about the weather. Parents can't model this. The money becomes this kind of thing that we don't really talk about. So I think actually having conversations about money calmly, constantly, and consistently is one of the best things that we can give our kids.
What should those conversations sound like? What should they sound like, Andrea? Like how much the parents get paid for their salary or
like,
how much the household expenses are? What does that look like?
So again, everyone's going to have a different opinion on what they want to reveal. But we have literally talked with our kids about everything from, you know, not necessarily how much we're making, but why we do what we do with our money, what we spend, what we think we should be spending on, you know, what we indulge on, what we don't want to spend money on. You know, all of our friends are spending their money on really expensive rent. We don't want to do that. We want to do other things with our money. You know, we're saving for certain things. When I invest, I look for dividend growth investments. So we really run this whole gamut of why we invest over the long term, why it's important to do it consistently. There's a tech, you know, kind of bubble right now, so I'll talk about that. So they've heard every conversation, and I talk about it in the same way that I talk about, like, and so what did you do at school today? You know, it's not a different tone. It's not a different, it's just something that we've become very accustomed to talking about. And I think if you can begin to talk about money this way, really help them realize it should just be something that's talked about. And money is something that we shame people about. So by talking, it's like sex, right? Should talk about it with the same ease that we talk about everything, because it is just something we have in our lives and we need it.
Fascinating. I love talking to Andrea Kennedy, the certified financial planner. And Andrea, we've talked about earning money. We've talked about spending money. How do we talk to our children about saving money? Because my daughter's at that age. She's not interested in saving. If she gets birthday money, say it's $100 from relatives, she wants to spend the entire $100, even if there's nothing she particularly wants. It's burning a hole in her pocket. And I try to encourage her. It contradicts slightly what you said about let them spend whatever they want. But I tried to say you don't actually want to spend all of this, because what you want to buy, say it's Pokemon cards, for example, only comes to $20. So are you going to just waste that $80 for the sake of it? I try to encourage her to save money. How can we go about that, the saving of money? Because kids are not interested in saving, mostly.
So, again, and this is something where I think first I would say, listen, explain to her why you save money. Say, I save money and I save it for these reasons, right?
Mm.
And that would also buy her something like a piggy bank or something where she can literally see it accumulate, or if she can get a junior savings account or something, she can see it adding up. But part of this is she can't see it doing something, right? If kids can see usually something growing or building or becoming bigger, then they naturally have an incentive to add to it. If she can't see that, either physically see it or see it in numbers, then her brain can't understand what she should be saving for. The second thing, and I would say the more important thing, is it's not just savings. We teach generally kids how to save, and over time, people do learn how to save. But people have to learn how to invest. And to that, they have to understand inflation. So when you go out to a restaurant that you've been to many times, and you see the plate of food shrinking, or you see your Starbucks cup shrinking, you know, the amount you're getting, or the amount of money for the same thing costing more, for the same amount costing more, you're experiencing inflation. And you can show it in home prices. You can show it in a lot of, you know, college education, even schools in Singapore, you know, what we're paying, you know, for kids to go to school, tuition, whatever. It's constantly going up in price. And so you've got to explain to her, it's not just important to save, you've got to invest that. Because if you don't invest in something that gives you more money over time, then you're not going to keep up with inflation. And that's really the loop that you have to close. Savings to investment. Because of inflation. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. And I know that you over the years have worked with your own kids on investing in stocks. And take us through, I remember a number of years ago specifically, and maybe you've done it since then, you took them on a journey of investing. Yeah. I believe it was over 6 months or 9 months. Tell us about that process and then what the result was from that process.
Right. So there's a lot of ways you can do this. And I'm a professional investor, so I know how to guide someone to picking stocks. And we did something that most people would consider risky, which is picking individual stocks. And we did this kind of around 2010, which was after the last crash. And I sat down with them, and these are like two little kids who really barely understood probably what I was saying. But I said, you understand some of these brands. Let's pick some of these because they're companies, and we're going to invest in them. And we picked companies that gave us dividends, which is a quarterly payment. Usually American companies pay quarterly. We would get the quarterly payments from these companies. You can give them money, but in return, you get money. So that was easy for them to understand. And then I said, and we're going to invest the money, and I'm going to match it. So they invested a certain amount, and I matched it with my own money. And we left it alone. And over time, they grew up, and their portfolio, of course, also grew in terms of the size of it. It got bigger. And they were getting this dividend. And they could see over time, I'm investing money, and I'm getting money, and I understand that these investments go up and down, but we're not looking at them every day. We're looking at them maybe once a year, or twice a year. And they were seeing over time that this actually grows, and it pays you. And now that money essentially feeds their college funding. It feeds their college expenses. So that was a phenomenal opportunity and a phenomenal time period, actually, for them to learn about this. The point of investing is not to be obsessed with it every day, which is what you feel like people are doing now. It's to invest money and to let it just grow and to leave it alone. And kids naturally are not too interested in looking at things every day other than their Instagram account. So you can get them investing and just being patient, they will learn a lot.
And then did you, the practicality of that, you invested in an online account that you had for them? Is that how it worked? And
yeah.
They chose a stock that maybe a company that they liked and you know, some product or toy that they liked or whatever? Is that how it went?
Yeah. I can tell you they chose Apple, Wendy's, Burgers, Costco. You know, these are kind of some American brands.
Mm-hmm.
But you can open a Saxo account in Singapore, or you can do a simpler version of this, but you can go to DBS or certain banks in Singapore, and you can open up these kind of robo-advisor accounts,
uh-huh.
and you can pick, you know, funds instead of stocks. And everyone can start this way. I know you can start with $1,000 at most banks now. You can kind of a fund and just put the money in there. And the point of investing is consistency and not overthinking it and consistently putting money in. Mm-hmm. Or putting in a lump sum and leaving it alone. One of those two things.
Give us
that lesson of being patient.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I was just going to say, give us a closing overall view of how we as parents should approach getting our kids into the world of investing and understanding money. Besides, you know, in addition to these honest conversations, what else should we do going forward?
So if you guys just think of it in terms of allow your child to, a way to accumulate, take shame out of the conversation, right? So accumulate, have healthy conversations that aren't about shame. You feel shame about money, figure yourself out first before you try to teach your kid anything. Sometimes it's better not to teach if you yourself have a difficult time with money and to understand yourself first and to be consistent. So accumulate, communicate, and be very consistent in your habits. I'm going to save a certain amount every month. I'm going to invest a certain amount every month. To just best all around consistency. Huh? And I think there's the tricky thing in Singapore is sometimes that certain families have more money than others, blah, blah, blah. That's true everywhere over the world. And you've got to teach your kids some level of value around what they're spending money on. Why does it matter to them? You know, and to find that if people understand and your kids understand why they're spending the money they are, why they're spending on one hand and why they need to save on the other.
Accumulate, communicate, and consistency. Good. Three C's.
Consistency.
Andrea Kennedy, Certified Financial Planner, thank you so much for being with us today on Money FM. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me on. Take care.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.